The Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is from Job chapter 38. The Lord said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out of the womb, when I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors, and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.' Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the depth of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 10. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down. Or, 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.' That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, 'Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.' But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Charles Swindoll, in a book that he wrote, Three Steps Forward, Two Steps Back, tells a story of a farmer who wanted to impress his friends with his new dog. So he invited his friends to go duck hunting with him. So while they're out in the duck blind, flock of ducks flew overhead, and they downed several of them. So he commanded the dog to go bring the ducks in. So the dog jumped out of the boat, walked across the water, picked up a duck, and brought it back. And he did this 3-4 more times. Walked across the water, picked up the duck, and brought it back. So the farmer looked at his friends and says, "Do you notice anything unusual about my dog?" And the one says, "Yeah, it can't swim." Most of us are familiar with the story of Peter walking on the water. Most people focus on Peter doing that walk, but forget that Peter was the only one of the disciples willing to walk on water. He had enough faith to go to Jesus. And we're going to look at what Peter did right and what Peter did wrong and what we can learn from it. When the disciples were in the boat, they were terrified when they saw Jesus walking on the water. And he responded, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Well, there's three lessons we can learn from Peter's experience. Peter was an impulsive guy. Gets him in trouble in the Gospels in a few different points. But God uses his impulsiveness to complete his will. The story happens right after Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, and the people had wanted to crown Jesus king by force. So Jesus dismisses the crowds, and it said he made the disciples get in the boat. Well, the Greek word is actually forced, which is a little more powerful of a term than made them get in the boat. He forced them into the boat. Why? Maybe the disciples themselves wanted to make him king, and Jesus would have none of it at that moment. So the disciples are on the water, tossed by the waves. In Mark's account, he adds they had difficulty rowing too. I wonder if they blamed Jesus for them being in the storm, because Jesus had forced them to get into the boat. I wonder if we've ever thought, and I'm sure I have, "God, what are you doing? It's your fault I'm in the situation I'm in now, and how am I going to get out of it?" It's easy to say every situation works out for the glory of God or works out for the best. It's easy to say that. Sometimes it's hard to actually accept it deep down, but it's one of the central truths of the gospel lessons. And we see that in our lesson today. Jesus comes in the fourth hour of the night. According to the way the Romans kept night watches, it was at 6 p.m. was first watch, 9 p.m. second watch, midnight third watch, 3 a.m. fourth watch. So Jesus comes about 3 in the morning. So the disciples have been in this storm for quite a period of time. And then when they first see him, they think it's a ghost. I think that would have been my reaction too. It's a ghost, because that's just not normal to see people walking on water. I also would have thought, not only do we have the wind, the waves, the storm, now we've got a ghost. What else could possibly go wrong at this point? But before they could even try to row to get away from what they thought was a ghost, Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." He calms their fears. He calms our fears with his presence. And then impulsive Peter, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Why, Peter? Why? Why does Peter think this? That if it's Jesus, command me to walk on the water. Well, the Bible doesn't say, but that's impulsive Peter. That's probably the first thing he thought of, and he just said it. Jesus says to him, "Come." So Peter gets out and starts walking on the water. But then Peter's filled with fear again and begins to sink and cries out, "Lord, save me." And it says, immediately Jesus reached out, took him by the hand, and said to him, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" The word of God tells us that they get into the boat and the disciples worship Jesus, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The first lesson we can learn from this text is, don't get out of the boat on your own. Peter only leaves the boat when Jesus commands him to go. A lot of times we get out of the boat, so to speak, on our own without the command of Jesus. We jump out of the boat without a command and we immediately start to sink. And then we can't figure out why we're failing. Because sometimes we're too presumptuous. Sometimes we seem that something seems to be from God. We jump at it and fail and wonder why that happened. It's because we got out of the boat when no one told us to, and we cannot figure out why God did not do what we thought he ought to have done. Some people or some things do come from God. Then ask God for in prayer if it is his will. Read the word of God so that we're not being too presumptuous in what we do. Never think something succeeds because you have a strong faith, or it would have succeeded if my faith was stronger. So the lesson we need to learn is don't get out of the boat until you know that the Lord has told you to get out. Second, when told to get out of the boat, get out. Sometimes that seems risky. And as people, we don't like to take risk. It's called stepping out in faith. Remember, stepping out in faith is stepping out in obedience, not stepping out in faith in our faith, but stepping out in faith in Christ. Stepping out in faith comes only when we step into a situation that the Lord has called us to. Do you admire the other 11 disciples in the boat? They don't get mentioned what they were doing when Peter jumped out of the boat. But they're the forefathers of what we call pew warmers. Peter stepped out. The pew warmers are ones that say, let others do the work, let others take the risk. Peter instead stepped out in faith. And Peter did not fail in what he did. He did exactly what Jesus commanded him to do. And Jesus was glorified because of Peter's little walk. The lesson here is there's jobs unfulfilled in any church, and we should get out in faith and volunteer for one of them. Our last lesson is to keep our eyes on Jesus when we do get out of the boat. Years ago, when my daughter Connie was about 4, she had this habit of when she would see a pool, she would run and jump into it, but couldn't swim. So one of us, Susan or I, always had to be in the pool to catch her. Well, one day I was in the pool and she was running on the deck about to jump in, and something or someone got my attention and I turned and looked. And Connie did the same. She looked and we missed each other entirely, and she jumped in the water a fair distance from where I was. Now, the mistake we both made is we took our eyes off of the other one. I don't think Jesus ever took his eyes off of Peter while Peter was walking on water, but Peter took his eyes off of Christ, and that's when things started to go bad quickly. As long as Peter focused on Christ, he succeeded. It's a Christian cliche to keep your eyes on Jesus, but what does it mean? First of all, it means to read your Bible. The Bible says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In another place, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And lastly, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents on the heart. If you want to keep your eyes on Jesus, read and meditate on his word. Another way to keep your eyes on Jesus is to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. In other words, we need to be praying every day. And then we need to wait on the Lord. And what does it mean to wait on the Lord? Pray with an attitude that it may not happen that day, tomorrow, next week, next year, or it may never happen if it's not according to the will of God. To wait on the Lord means to let God answer your prayers, let him speak to you before you go out, and try to make things happen on your own. Wait on God, have patience, listen to God, and let him speak to you. So in review, don't get out of the boat unless commanded to, and keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Step out onto the sea of God's grace. Trust in Jesus today for your salvation, believing in the cleansing power of his blood. Believe that he died and rose again for you. Will you trust in him today? May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.